Hello and good day. It's that time of the week when we get to highlight one of the organizations in Montana supporting our service members, veterans, and their families. And it's great to once again have you join us for this week's podcast. I am Ryan Luco, Community Employment Coordinator for the VA Montana Healthcare System in the Homeless Vet Recovery Program and your current host for the Montana Joining Community Forces Career and Transition Support Project podcast. Montana Joining Community Forces, better known as Montana JCF, is a statewide coalition of support for service members, veterans, and their families delivered through six functional key service areas, which includes our Career Key Service Area. The Career Key Service Area is the designated effort under Montana JCF that addresses the very broad category of career support, supporting individuals with education and training, employment, and small business ownership, resources, connections, and supportive events. JCF also assists employers in their efforts to find, hire, and sustain service member, veteran, and spouse talent through the Montana JCF Employer Support Network. Our objective with this podcast is to bring you relevant information that may help you successfully transition to whatever stage is next in your career or journey. We know how important career can be in your pursuit to thrive or be of value to your community after military service, so we are here to support that effort by sharing stories, resources, and information that do just that. You may be thinking about transitioning to Montana after military service. You may be living in Montana looking for a new opportunity in the public or private sector, or you may be navigating through some trials and frankly don't know what to do next. A large part of our support includes helping those individuals through challenges associated with military service or just life in general. Whether it's past trauma, significant stress, anxiety, relationship issues, or health in general, there may be difficulties sustaining a job or being successful in a work environment. My work in the VA is specifically through the healthcare side of the VA, and not everyone listening today may realize that there are actually three arms to VA operations. These three arms are healthcare, benefits, and cemetery operations. Our guest today, David Wirtz, is the Vocational Readiness and Employment Officer for the benefits arm in the VA or the VBA regional office here in Montana. Vet readiness and employment is one of the programs available to assist a veteran that's having a difficult time being successful in their career due to a service connection disability. David, it's great to have you here with us today. And I am looking forward to our conversation and having you share some of the aspects of VR&E and certainly some of the changes taking place under your programming. Thank you, sir, for joining me.
Hey, thanks, Ryan. Happy to be here and thankful for the opportunity.
You bet. Well, hey, David, I like to paint a picture for our listeners on these podcasts. And so if we could start by just having you share your background and connection to military service and then your connection to VR&E prior to working for VBA, that would be helpful in our process to share that foundation.
Sure. Thanks, Brian. I joined the service back in 1999. Was exactly what I was looking for in my life. Needed that viable change. Spent about 7 years in the service. Got out in 2006. Upon my discharge, really trying to figure out what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. Trying to correlate the skills that I obtained in the military to the civilian side, you know, those transferable skills, and just really had a lot of difficulty to where I found some jobs here and there, just wasn't really measuring up, didn't have that camaraderie that I was looking for. Took a job as a civilian contractor in Saudi Arabia for a while, had some familial issues to where some family members were ill that I had to come back and not accept the following contract. Came back, was really having a difficult time here in Montana, trying to find and obtain employment without any kind of additional training, to where I even had to work at Walmart for a while just to pay the bills. And so sacrifice for the greater good, was told and informed about VR&E service, as a service connected disabled veteran that I am, and a product of the program that I now serve. I just wholeheartedly believe in this process, the process of serving vets. Was accepted, found entitled, completed my undergraduate degree at Carroll College, and then my graduate degree at Utah University for a master's in rehabilitation counseling. I was hired with the VA in 2012. It was a VRC for about 4 years, and then decided to be and take on the role of the Veteran Readiness and Employment Officer in Huntington, West Virginia. I did that for 2 years, and then the opportunity arose where the vacancy for the VREO position opened here in Montana, and I was applied and was selected and able to come back to Montana and serve Montana veterans.
Excellent. Well, your story and transition is, man, it's certainly not uncommon. It is something I hear vets talk about all the time. And really, I think the value certainly from your experiences is derived from you getting into a position where you're able to help other vets. So that's tremendous. And I love hearing stories, and I'm thankful that you're here with us today and sharing your story, and hopefully that will translate to helping some other folks. So thank you for sharing that, David.
Thanks, Ryan.
So let's talk a little bit more about the VR&E program. If you could get into eligibility and how to apply, just kind of give us some roots to help individuals understand the program a little bit better.
Of course. Great question. So to be eligible to apply for Chapter 31 VR&E service, the veteran must be in receipt of disability compensation on a monthly basis. So they must be a service-connected disabled veteran to be eligible to apply for VR&E service. The veteran must have at least a 10% service-connected disability. And if they only have a 10% service-connected disability, they must display a serious employment handicap. And how that is designated is for a plethora of variables, which can include long durations of unemployment, history of substance abuse, psychological diagnosis, substance abuse. Those kind of things can justify that designation. If the veteran is 20% service connected or greater, then they only have to display an employment handicap. And so the big difference between the GI Bill and VR&E services, the GI Bill is a benefit program. Veterans can use it whatever way, shape, or form they want. VR&E service is an entitlement program. Veterans must be service connected. And then they meet with a staff member to determine their entitlement. So it's not automatically granted. It's not a benefit. Again, they must be found entitled based solely upon the functional limitations of their service connected disabilities and how it impairs them from preparing, obtaining, and retaining suitable and gainful employment. The application for VR&E service is VA Form 28-1900. Veterans can navigate to www.va.gov and apply for Veteran Readiness and Employment Services. Based upon completing that application, with them entering in their address, that application will be assigned to the geographic area within the area that they reside. Veterans can also complete a 28-1900 and submit it to their VSO, their Veteran Service Officer, and request that be routed to the local VR&E office. That's always a great way, or they can email it to someone within that regional office.
Excellent. Well, you know, David, I think it warrants sharing my experience recently going through, or at least starting the process, and I was amazed how quick and proficient filling out that form online. Normally government forms, especially, you know, VA or DOD forms that we're used to from the military side of life, are not short and take a lot of waiting to apply for, you know, whatever someone's looking at. But this specifically was real quick. You could submit it online, and then I heard back from that voc rehab counselor really expeditiously. So I think that's awesome that we've probably gained some traction as far as that process goes over the recent years.
Well, and it's definitely something that we pride ourselves in. Veterans don't apply for our services because they wanna, you know, wait. Obviously, we serve a lot of veterans, and we, you know, I would be willing to say that the Fort Harrison team is one of the best teams in the nation. They're very veteran centric. They care about veterans. They care about the well-being of the veterans and want to provide those astute services. It's not what VR&E service can do for a veteran 12, 14, 18 months down the road. We're wanting to implement changes upon meeting with that veteran to determine that entitlement that day on how we can get that veteran into that positive direction, moving into suitable and gainful employment. That's another big difference is VRNE Service, we're an employment program, not an education program. And so it's just one of those things. And one other little outlier, Ryan, regarding how to submit applications, we do have a central mailing system as well. And so veterans can mail applications to the Department of Veterans Affairs, Veteran Readiness and Employment Service Intake Center, P.O. Box 5210, Janesville, Wisconsin, 53547-5210. There's multiple ways to apply for services. There should be no one that creates that roadblock, and so the veteran should be able to submit an application multiple ways.
And that's a great point, because a lot of the folks, especially service providers, you know, in my case, the HUD-VASH case managers, their vets may not have access to technology. So, you know, if you're a HUD-VASH case manager or a support person out there who have vets without tech access, man, what a great point to take home, that you can certainly help someone submit that application through the mail and support them in that way. So excellent. Thank you for highlighting that. So Dave, let's switch. I'm going to use a bad pun here. Let's switch tracks a little bit, but I'd like you to talk about the VRNE tracks to employment. So there's the pun. If you could shed some light on that for us, that'd be great.
Sure. So VRNE Service offers 5 tracks to employment. The first track being re-employment. And so that's more for the veteran who deployed, has returned, and is just trying to obtain employment back within the position that they previously had. Think USERRA rights. The next track is rapid access to employment. So for those veterans that completed retraining at prior education, within prior education programs being state voc rehab or Chapter 31 Veteran Readiness and Employment, and has already obtained the knowledge, skills, degrees, certificates, whatever is going to kind of justify it and equate them to having the skills to qualify for positional employment, we can ultimately enter them into a rapid access to employment track and just ultimately move into more just employment services. The next track is self-employment track. Pretty self-explanatory. Actually, it's one of our most difficult tracks to employment, just based upon the intricacies that go into that. It's very deep and what's required, and not only from the VA, but also from the veteran. It's a very difficult track to go through, you know, for many reasons. And the reason most importantly is we're trying to set the veterans up for success, not failure, not push them into a position where they're going to be in overwhelming debt or anything like that. So it's a very stringent track to employment, but one that's definitely something that we offer. The next track, which is the one that's utilized the most, is employment through long-term services, which involves more of the academic retraining program. Doesn't mean that it's going to be a bachelor's degree. Doesn't mean it's going to be an associate's degree. It could be a certificate. It could be, you know, it could be anything, but whatever track that is, cannot worsen or exacerbate the veteran service connected disabilities. We cannot retrain a veteran into something that has the potential to force them to spend their free time in recovery based upon exacerbating their conditions during the work week. So again, suitability and feasibility are key components with that. To include, it must be employable within the geographic area the veteran wishes to reside. If they don't want to leave, you know, Pulse in Montana, then that's where we're looking at to include however far the veteran's willing to commute. The veteran's willing to relocate outside the state or anywhere else, obviously those opportunities, those employment opportunities and programs, you know, open a little bit more and diversify a lot more. The last track that we offer is independent living for the more severely disabled veterans to assist them in increasing their activities of daily living. And those are the 5 tracks to employment. Again, like I said, employment through long-term services is the one that's utilized the most. For that, you know, that veteran that, you know, the 88 Mike that has the truck driver with bad knees and bad back, can't get out of that cab anymore, therefore needs retraining into something that's sedentary in nature that the veteran can do for the rest of their lives, providing for themselves, their family, and maintaining that work to live concept and not live to work.
Excellent. I love it. A lot of good information. And you can tell you've been around the VRNE world for quite a while, David, because you are you are succinct and precise in your messaging. So it's awesome. Appreciate it.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I mean, and again, it's just all about providing these astute services to veterans. I want the veterans to hear it from me and from us, you know, and remove that whole barracks lawyer concept from this and just hear it from the experts that do this for a living.
Yeah, absolutely. There's certainly value in getting, you know, some information from your peers, vets who have gone through programs. But at the end of the day,
sure,
it's like you say, it's imperative that you get the information from the source. And especially with so many changes, you know, taking place, it's always good to just be squared up with information. And you can only do that from getting it directly from the horse's mouth. So excellent.
And you brought up a And you brought up a great point. You know, we always tell veterans that you can't compare yourself and the services provided to one veteran to another, because it's an individualized program. It's all based upon, again, overcoming the functional limitations of the veteran service-connected disabilities and their impairments to preparing, obtaining, and retaining employment. And so it's completely individualized to that veteran. And so it you know, it's all scenario-based. And so they need to hear it from us. They need to discuss it with us so we can provide them and put them. And if they're not found entitled, put them in touch with services that they can receive services from.
Excellent. Love it. All right. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. So let's move forward in the process. Somebody has applied for the program. Help me understand what somebody can expect after they've applied for it, and then what allowances that VRE&E offers as part of the program once they are
great
in it. Yeah,
sure. And so once a veteran applies, completes the application, again, if it's done electronically, it gets processed, it gets assigned to a counselor that kind of governs that catchment area within the state of Montana. I have staff in Missoula. I have some staff in Billings and a couple other counselors here in Helena as well. And so once a veteran applies, is assigned to a counselor, the counselor tries to meet with that veteran and conduct that initial evaluation to determine entitlement within 20 days of application. Again, it's an average. We try to, you know, as quickly as possible, get that veteran seen. And upon them meeting with the counselor, if the veteran is determined entitled, again, then they enter into what's called the vocational exploration phase. And actually, I just want to back up as well. Once the veteran applies, the counselor will send them a letter saying, here's your appointment for your initial evaluation. Please complete what's called a 1902W, which is a rehabilitation needs inventory. It just gives a good background regarding employment, regarding education, all those things, military history, those kind of things. It just so we can kind of start, you know, the research in determining some of the limitations and the interests of the veteran. The veteran is also required to complete a vocational assessment, which is called the career scope. And so it measures the veteran's interest, aptitudes, and abilities and correlates that with an employment profile and kind of helps narrow the scope. And we have some wonderful vocational tools to assist in that veteran, doing some of that vocational research. Because at the end of the day, we can't tell the veteran, you know, that, hey, you're only going to get a business degree, because they might not have any interest in that. Right. And so the veteran has to own that portion of it, go to class, get good grades, be successful, and want to obtain that degree to have that ownership. And so we will assist in every faucet along the way to remove as many unforeseen variables from the process. But the veteran has to own that. And so we need to the veteran, and we provide as much research and labor market and assistance throughout the process to make sure that veteran makes that informed decision. Now on that, on a suitable vocational goal. And the counselor ultimately still has the overall say-so regarding suitability, feasibility, regarding that suitable goal, because again, we cannot provide retraining into something that has a potential to worsen the veteran's disabilities. So upon a suitable vocational goal, which can happen and again, I require my staff meeting with all the veterans within every 2 weeks upon being determined entitled. We want to continue to engage with the veteran, continue to build and establish that rapport and that communication line, because the relationship between the veteran and the counselor is built upon effective communication. We can't help, we can't apply resources if we don't know what's going on. And so once that vocational goal is determined, and the veteran is written a plan for that vocational goal, you know, right then and there, the program starts. OK, Okay. And the academic retraining, if it were going through employment through long-term services track, for example, we've already set it up. The veterans provided labor market, the program of study, which is the master list of classes the veteran has to take that results in graduation, because again, we need to know that. You know, and so based upon the veteran reading the labor market, reading exactly what the employers are looking for, what degree, how much experience, so on and so forth, the veteran needs to know that up front. Everyone should know that up front. We shouldn't get to the end and graduation day and then the veteran come and go to their counselor and say, now what? Well, we should already know now what. And we don't want that, those instances of, I wish I would have knew that then. I wish I would have knew that, you know, going into this. We want to remove as much of that as possible. Veterans receive a subsistence allowance based upon their rate of pursuit or how many credits that they're taking in their academic retraining program. So if they're at a regular brick and mortar institution, a regular semester schedule, 12 plus credit hours is full time. And so we want the veterans attending at least full time, because again, it's trying to get them from point A to where is upon application to point B, which is suitable and gainful employment, in the most expeditious manner possible. Okay. And so it's not a part-time, it's not at your convenience. It's, are you ready to devote your attention to this, sacrifice for the greater good, and get back into the workforce in a suitable employment goal. Okay. And so subsistence allowance. So it's August 1st of 2011, Obama changed the rules and said veterans that have at least one day remaining of their post-assignment GI Bill can elect that E5 BAH rate while participating in Chapter 31 in lieu of the Chapter 31 rate. Now, it's kind of confusing, but in some instances, it's more financially advantageous for the veteran to elect that E5BH rate, if eligible, because that is not influenced by dependents. Chapter 31 subsistence allowance is influenced by the number of dependents the veteran has. And so the veteran has 5-6 dependents, it might be more financially advantageous for them to receive the Chapter 31 subsistence allowance. But that is a conversation between the veteran and the counselor to discuss, again, what is most financially advantageous to them for the duration of the program. And if something changes down the road where they're switching from online or brick and mortar to online, those are different rates within the Chapter 31 BAH rules. And so it might be a transition to the 31 subsistence allowance and then back to the BAH for the remainder or for the next semester. It all goes based upon the veteran's election and effective communication with the staff member, the counselor.
Yes. Excellent. Well, I think, that snippet, which was a long snippet and great information, David, is exactly what separates VR&E services from basically every other vet programming or career specific support programs out there, because you guys are going through the process of identifying skills, interests, abilities, helping retrain according to those areas, and then looking at the marketability of those, you know, skills, interests, and abilities. And it's just, I think it's a, I don't know what the right word would be. I guess what comes to mind is just a beautiful way of supporting our vets who may be lost, I think, or without some direction. I think that process that you just identified is perfect to help somebody get back on track.
You know, 100%, Ryan. And really, you know, a lot of the things that I'm talking about of how we do business, you know, I wish I would have known, you know, before my time in VR&E service. You know, I never would have thought to ultimately look at all these job postings within the geographic area I wish to reside to really kind of see what piques my interest and then read about what the employers are looking for skills, education requirements, experience, all that stuff. You know, you can really learn so much and complete, you know, because if you're going through like information technology, you might not need a degree. You might just need certifications. And sure. So the last thing you want to do is spend 40 years going through to get a bachelor's in IT when you just needed to get a CompTIA cert and you could obtain employment within your area. And so sure. We really kind of go through and troubleshoot all those areas to make sure, again, because we are stewards of the taxpayers' dollars and we want to make sure we're making wise investments and again, transitioning those veterans into suitable employment as fast as we can.
Perfect.
To lessen the negative impact and any kind of financial constraints that they're experiencing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome. I love it. So David, our listeners, having listened to everything you've said, maybe they're sitting there wondering, okay, is VR&E right for me? So Could you talk a little bit to that and just kind of help maybe smooth some of that uncertainty out a little bit?
Yeah, 100%, Ryan. And that's a great question. And if you are a service-connected disabled veteran, Chapter 31 is right for you. Another big difference between the GI Bill and VRNE services, the GI Bill gives you, the GI Bill doesn't buy you a computer. GI Bill doesn't buy you all the required supplies that each and every other student has to have in that program, you know, and so VRNE service does. Every veteran is required to have every student is required. You got to have a computer to be successful in school these days. Therefore, VRNE service will purchase a veteran one if they don't have one. Okay, we will purchase, we pay for all tuition books, fees, supplies, any required materials, any required supplies. Again, like I said, if the math class requires a TI 82,000, you know, it will be purchased for the veteran because it's ultimately required for every other student attending that program. And so that goes for software, that goes for textbooks, you know, there's no out-of-pocket costs. And that brings me to the next change is education service has redefined the definition of the 48-month rule, which means they are no longer deducting entitlement used in Chapter 31 from Chapter 33 benefits. So education services is still deducting entitlement and feeding the same trough for use Chapter 33, Chapter 30, 1606, and 1607. Those are all still feeding the same trough, but they're no longer deducting time used of in 31, Chapter 31, from their Chapter 33 benefits. And that's effective April 1st of this year. And so it's a great program. It's a great, not program, but it's a great redefinition for veterans because it's extremely advantageous to where they can come to VRNE service first, obtain an undergraduate degree, utilizing, you know, up to the 48 months of entitlement, and then obtain employment. And then before the delimiting date expires, still have up to 36 months of available entitlement to use of the GI Bill to obtain an advanced degree if they so choose. And so it's a wonderful thing to really, because the biggest struggle is school isn't easy. School is difficult. We all know that has ever stepped foot into a college campus classroom. And so it's best to have that support initially to kind of really figure out how to be a student again and all the basic fundamentals of study habits and all those things, and just have that mentorship throughout the entire process by a voc rehab counselor that does this for a living, has been through the entire process, can assist in removing as many unforeseen variables from this process as possible. And then if the veteran so chooses, because VRNE service, we train to the point of employability. Once that marker's met, that's where the entitlement stops. So it might not take all 48 months. It might only take 36. And so by that time, and once the veteran qualifies for that suitable and gainful employment that doesn't worsen their disabilities, they can, upon their own election, utilize their GI Bill and get an advanced degree or some other certs or whatever. And so it's just a wonderful opportunity. It's a great time to be a part of this. It's a great time to apply for services. So please complete that application either via va.gov or email into 28-1900 to your VSO or another VA official requesting it gets emailed over to the VRNE office. You could even call 406-495-2012 and speak to my program support specialist, and they can field and respond to any questions and concerns the veterans have. It's just, please come talk to us. If you got questions, you got concerns, Just come talk to us. We will tell you the truth and set you on the right path as best we can within the confines of our rules and regulations.
Awesome. Thank you very much. So you just actually provided our natural segue into my last point, which was, if you would, just to share that contact number for anybody here in Montana. But you said it, 495-2012, correct?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. 406-495-2012. You can reach out and ask any questions regarding VRNE services that you may not understand or just need to clarify for yourself. But certainly that's a lot of great information, David, and I appreciate your time joining me today. And I trust that our folks listening to this will benefit tremendously from the information you had a chance to share.
I really appreciate it, Ryan, and thanks to your listeners, and really appreciate the work you do for the veterans of Montana, man. It's just it's paramount what you do, and so just really want to thank you and appreciate the collaboration between the two entities.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you. I certainly appreciate that. Means a lot, David. And you know, at the end of the day, it's about making sure that we change the culture in Montana. And I think through a lot of the work being done across the state, we can honestly and genuinely say that that is taking place. So, yes, thank you very much.
And thank you, Ryan.
Yep. So, all right, friends, that's a wrap on this week's version of the JCF Career and Transition Support Podcast. Thank you for joining me today, David, and for sharing that VR&E info. And as always, it's been my pleasure. And for our listeners, please make sure to share this podcast with anyone that may benefit from the VR&E information and support. And of course, as always, if you have any recommendations for future podcasts or would like to be a part of what we are doing, please send the JCF team a message through the Contact Us page at the Montana JCF website, which is www.montanajcf.org. And the JCF team will connect with you ASAP. So get outside and enjoy the spring weather while we have it. And until next week, take care, everyone.